Excuse me, it's not good morning yet.
Whatever. Are we ready?
Okay. Good morning, everybody. It is 10 o'clock on June 18th, 2019, and I hereby call the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors to order. And I would ask, if you would like to, that you join us with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now we'll proceed to public comment number one, and this comment period is for the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. And would anybody like to take advantage of this? And if so, would you please move to the chair over here with the microphone? Seeing nobody move that way, I will close the public comment session. And I do have one comment, though, I will make as chair. It's been suggested to me that on subsequent agendas, like many other bodies do, that maybe we should add approval of a tentative agenda. So I'm just going to ask, is there any concern about doing that?
None.
Okay. Shirley, would you do that? And the reason I'm bringing that up is because there was one minor thing that we'll have to correct on today's agenda, and reviewing the agenda helps remind us to do that. Okay. Agency reports. We are now going to hear from Stacy Lehman with University Community Child Care doing her annual report.
Good morning. All right, my name is Stacy Lehman, and I'm the director of University Community Child Care in Ames, Iowa. We are a private, nonprofit child care center that provides part-day and full-day early care and education services for infants, toddlers, and preschool children. We also provide a full day on school vacation and throughout the summer care, as well as before and after care for school-aged children, kindergarten through fifth grade. We also provide care for mildly ill children at our comfort zone. And during this past year, we had 48 Story County children make 90 visits to the comfort zone. We provide care for 90 to 100 children, generally each week. To provide this care, we have 24 permanent staff members. That includes our teachers, our registered nurses to staff the comfort zone, our food program staff, our office coordinating staff, our executive director, and the assistant director. To provide our quality of care, we also employ 25 to 30 part-time assistant teachers. Most of our assistant teachers are Iowa State students who are eligible for the Iowa State Work Study Program. And so with the assistance of that program, then we are only paying 25% of their hourly rate of pay. Our other funding sources include our asset funders. This funding supports reduced fees for our Iowa State student families with incomes below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. Iowa State University provides both monetary funding and in-kind services as our building is provided to us rent-free. The Iowa State Department of Residence provides funding to cover our occupancy expenses such as mowing, snow removal, building maintenance. Iowa State University C-Campus Grant is a federal program that supports students who are qualified for the Pell Grant, and anyone who has children that enrolled at Iowa State on-campus services can take advantage of that. We have been enrolled with that since this contract period, October 17, and so that will be renewed in 4 years from there. This past year, we had 27 children who were on the C-Campus Grant program in our center. We also receive money from the United States Department of Agriculture. That support comes through our Child and Adult Food Care Program. BOOST provides scholarships for our preschool children. This past year, four children were able to receive a scholarship of $75 per month to help their families with those fees. We also work with the Ames Community School District and the statewide voluntary preschool program to provide four-year-old preschool, and that is a benefit for our families. Then they get that 10 hours of preschool free each week. And then we also are able to staff that classroom with licensed teaching staff as well. Client statistics from 2018 and 19 show that UCC provided care for 151 children. 74 of those children had one or more parents who were Iowa State students. 143 were Ames residents. 3 were Story County residents, and 5 lived outside of Story County. Our client income level showed that 51% of our clients were below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. 62 children were able to take advantage of third-party paying systems such as the Department of Human Services Child Care Block Grant, the Iowa State AC Campus Grant Program, Boost Empowerment Scholarship, to the statewide voluntary preschool program. Some of the strengths of UCC is our accreditation. We have been accredited by the National Association for the Education of Young Children since 2000. October of 2016, we renewed for a 5-year term, so we'll have to renew again October of 2021. We've also been able to achieve a 5-star rating on the Iowa Quality Rating System, and we have staff who are able to take advantage of the TEACH program, which is a continuing education program that is sponsored by the Child Care Resource and Referral State of Iowa and the Iowa Association for Education of Young Children. We currently have 2 staff members who are attending VMAC to further their early childhood education on a scholarship. One's working on a bachelor's degree and the other is working on her CDA. We do currently have 3 staff members who have received their associate's degrees through the TEACH program. The program pays for tuition for the staff currently working full-time in child care settings. We're able to offer and require prospective employees who have 2 years of experience in early childhood education the opportunity to come and be an employee and have that benefit of taking advantage of the TEACH program to further their education as well. The weaknesses at UCC are we have a lengthy waiting list for our infant and toddler programs. Those slots are full, and as children move up or parents move away, then we're able to take those right from the list to fill those spots, but still a lengthy waiting list on those. Difficulty hiring full-time employees, and difficulty balancing affordable care for families and the ability to pay staff an appropriate wage. I did want to share some outcome information from our parent surveys. Having access to low rates on the UCC fee scale has allowed for my children to have high-quality child care at a low cost. Without affordable fees, my child would have to stay home or go to a place with lower quality ratings. I'm glad that UCC gave us the opportunity to enroll my son with a more affordable cost because in the past we've had to reject other options because we could not afford them. I wouldn't be able to attend school without this flexible pay scale. I benefit tremendously financially, and it takes away stress. By making childcare more affordable, my husband and I did not have to choose between who had to quit school and go to work until the other graduated, and then they work while the other goes back to school when we had our child before finishing our undergraduate degrees. My time at ISU has focused on attaining credentials. Having affordable access to childcare has allowed me the necessary personal time to work towards that purpose. As a mother, I can concentrate on my studies and work as a TA since I know that my daughter, who is only 2 years old now, is in safe hands. I also know that she's not only being cared for, but her social, physical, and cognitive abilities are improving because of the great work her teachers are doing. We also do an outcome survey from the Comfort Zone, and so I'm going to share a few of those too from the Comfort Zone program. For us, it is a reliable place to leave our daughter. We can do our normal activities without getting worried about our sick kids and getting focused on class and work. It's great to know it's an option to leave my child there when I cannot miss work. My daughter enjoys it there. The Comfort Zone allowed us to get to work and not miss important meetings, classes, and experiments. Thank you. And I have 2 more. I have missed quite a few days of work this year due to illness and snow days. The Comfort Zone allowed me the flexibility to not miss important meetings and the knowledge that my child was well taken care of. The Comfort Zone relieved stress and burden. We are running out of sick days. This made a huge difference. All right, that's all the information I had to share.
Thank you very much. And I'll start with our new supervisor, Lisa Hedden. Do you have any questions?
I do have a couple. Thank you, Stacey, for being here today. I am familiar with your agency and the Comfort Zone. Mm-hmm. The one thing I can't remember is your criteria for families to be eligible for the Comfort Zone. Is it like, if I'm recalling, I'm thinking it's like they can have like a fever of up to 100. I don't remember. Could you just share that with me?
Yeah, so the Comfort Zone intention is that it is care for mildly ill children. And so I don't think we have a threshold. I mean, if the child care center that they're currently at isn't allowing them to come that day, then that would be an option to come to us. You know, we've had some of our current families who are in our child care, and they come in the morning and up coughing all night, just not feeling very well, then that's the option as well. They're not going to have to be in that regular child care classroom, but need that extra attention from the nurse staff as well.
Sure, thank you. And then my other question is where you referenced about getting enough staff, full-time staff to come in, and then also your long waiting list. So, you know, I'm kind of equating the two. If you had more staff, you'd probably be able to take on and supporting potentially more children. I guess my question is, is there the location capacity to have additional children?
In our current location, I don't think we have the space available to open any additional spots.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question, just a comment. I remember when Comfort Zone opened, and I think I had a reporter do an article on it, and I thought what a great idea it was at the time, and I'm glad to hear that you're able to offer that valuable service.
I think we're one of two in the state, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Just one quick question. Do you know what your average wait time is for infants and toddlers to get in from when they're accepted or arrange?
So from when they enter the waiting list until a spot is available?
Yes.
I don't know that information. I do know that a lot of times infants start the waiting list as an infant, on the waiting list then as a toddler, just because those spots.
Mm-hmm. So it can be lengthy.
Yes.
And what is your minimum rate of pay you're able to employ your folks at?
Assistant staff is at $9 an hour. Our full-time staff, $12.75, $13 an hour.
And how's your staff retention? Do you suffer because of the wage issue, I imagine?
Yes.
Yes.
When we have staff leaving to work at, you know, a credit union, because they can make more there than they can in our setting, it does make a difference.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us?
That is all.
Thank you so much for the report. This
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good day. Okay. Then, going on to consideration of minutes. We don't have minutes today, so we will skip that. Consideration of personnel actions. I would entertain a motion to approve personnel actions as listed.
I will move as listed.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Okay, then we'll move on to the consent agenda. And the item that does have a very minor correction, and I'll just announce that if this is okay. Item 12, which is an acknowledgement of a sheriff purchase, there is a typo. Instead of $6,979, it should be $6,980. So if that's acceptable to everybody, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with that one change.
So move with that one change.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Hedden. Further discussion? No discussion. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Okay. Merkin? Aye. Motion carried. Then we will go on to page 4 of the agenda under public hearing items. First consideration of ordinance number 263, amending certain boundaries of official zoning map of Story County, and a resolution 19-122, C2C future land use map amendment for resolution 19-123, Deerfield subdivision, second edition, minor subdivision, Westwood Center Partners, LLC, Amelia Schoenman. Now, that was a mouthful. How about this? First consideration of this ordinance and resolution.
Yeah.
So, Amelia, tell us what we have here.
Okay. It's kind of a little red.
Yeah.
We're going to have a show going on. I'm not sure if we can see the PowerPoint.
Okay.
I know. Okay. Well, it was fine a little bit ago.
It was fine.
Amelia.
Give me the power. Just power it down.
Okay.
Shut it off.
Okay. Yeah. I will.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sorry.
And then just start with the summary. So, this is a rezoning request from the A1 Agricultural District, the AR Agricultural Residential District. With that rezoning request, because the future land use map in our CCC plan designates this area as agricultural conservation. There is also a request to amend the CCC future land use map. If those two requests are approved, it will allow for a minor subdivision to create four lots for four new dwellings, potentially up to four. The applicant is Leon Wilker with Westwood Center Partners, LLC, and his son is actually lives across the street from the proposed subdivision, and will be the owner of one of the proposed lots. So they're both here today. So if you have any questions for them. Okay. So, there we go. So this is the proposed subdivision layout. Again, there are four lots. Three of the lots have frontage on 560th. One has frontage on 300th. There is also an outlot that will continue to be farmed. They did put a note on the flat that it is to remain tillable ag land. You can see that there is also an access easement from lot 4 up to outlot A for the farmer to use. And then there are a shared access easement between lots 1, 2, and 3. This is requested by the county engineer due to site and distance separation issues on these roadways. We are located north of Huxley and Cambridge. Both cities did approve the subdivision. Surrounding land use. The area is has a higher density of residential use than typical of the unincorporated area. There are three adjacent subdivisions. One was completed in 2008 and is zoned ag residential, which is the requested zoning district for you today. And then we have a lot of other ag residential parcels to the south along Green Lake, if you're familiar with that area. Of the land in half mile, there are 63 parcels and 28, so about a little less than 50% in the acre. Again, there are several subdivisions, and many of the dwellings located within a half mile are located on wood lots, which are original lots planted by folks that settled Story County to provide wood for farming and energy. And why this is relevant is our code considers wood lots legally established lots of records that may be built upon regardless of size. The lots along Green Lake are actually the original wood lots, and that's why we have so many dwellings in this area. So you can see on this next map, on the right-hand side, this is the section, and it's a little blurry, but you can see in the western half of the section, all those smaller lot lines are the original wood lots. So you can kind of see how that's reflected. On the left-hand side in the Green Lake lot today, you have a higher density lot than you would normally in a section that's made up of all 48 acres. So this is looking north on 560th. So you can see proposed lot 3 in this photo, and then there's an ag subdivision to the north of the accessory building. This is looking at proposed lots 2 and 3 to the northeast, and proposed lot 1, and you can see the Deerfield Estate subdivision as a house there in the background. Looking south in 560, there's Farmstead as part of the subdivision. To the west, you can see as well as a house as part of another subdivision to the south. To the southeast, you can propose lot 4 here. This is looking northwest of the subject property from 300. So this is looking at proposed lot 4. Looking down 300, you can see the Deerfield subdivision, the prior Deerfield subdivision. And this is just looking west. So we'll start with the future land use map and standards. I'll try to be brief here because there are a lot. But if you have any questions, please let me know. So to amend the future land use map, there's six standards. The first is that the change is consistent with comprehensive plan goals and policies. We have generally, the CCC comprehensive goals have the plan has a goal to protect agricultural. So this proposed subdivision will create four lots, totaling 7.03 net acres. The remainder of the property will be left in agricultural possession. So that's about 20 acres. And there is a note on the plat indicating that it can be used for agricultural purposes. And this property, individually, the score on it, and it is low agricultural value due to the adjacent land use being all residential, or mainly all residential. Another goal is to plan for a variety of housing needs based on forecast demand. This area is a growth area of the county. The city of Huxley, which the CDP plan indicates, had the highest growth in the population from 1990 to 2010. And so, you know, we looked at past subdivisions in Palestine Township and Union Township, and we've had very few subdivisions that created new lots for dwellings for all residential purposes. So those just created one additional lot, typically for a family member or for someone that really wanted to be able to buy their dwelling off onto a 1 acre lot by their last and keep the remainder in ag production. So we've really only seen about four new lots in each township in the past couple of years. This subdivision will create, you know, more lots in an area of the county where there is demand for more rural residential housing. We also have goals to consider the availability and capacity of local services. The county engineer did note that there are no plans to pay $560 and wanted to make that really clear for future buyers of these lots. It was requested that they place a note on the plat for future buyers to see that this road would not be paved. That note was not placed on the plat. And so part of your consideration today would be staff would like to recommend adding a note to the ordinance. And so if the ordinance supports that, we could add a note that $560 will not be paid to the ordinance for you. If you want that in consideration because that note is not on the plat. Important, as indicated by the county engineer, that folks are aware there's no future paving. We've also received letters from our utility providers in the area that they support the subdivision. There also has to be evidence demonstrating why the plan should be changed. So typically, when you see an ag conservation area designation in the CGC, it's because that parcel has an agricultural tax classification. And so those ag tax parcels were designated ag conservation. But one thing in this area that you may not have been considered to be density woodlots and adjacency of other residentially zoned properties. It's actually on our Department's work program from the implementation matrix to consider subdivision location guidelines. And so those types of things would be considered in that work program item. We haven't done it yet, but the planning staff feels that those additional considerations were not made in designating in the CGC designation of ag conservation. And another standard is whether the change is needed to allow reasonable development of the site. Currently, you would be able to build one house and then do a subdivision after the house is built to build another house, which is a pretty burdensome process, especially when we've had other subdivisions in the area already that have gone through the rezoning process and been allowed to plat. The relationship of the proposed amendment to the supply and demand for a particular land use in the county and immediate vicinity. We've kind of already discussed this in the growth area. Demonstration of the proposed amendment has merit beyond the interest of the applicant. This isn't just to allow the applicant to build one dwelling for themselves, to create four new lots in this area of the county. And they are reserving agricultural lands. They're not, you know, subdividing the whole piece to create as many lots as possible. So it is within the character of the area as well. And then the final amendment standard for the future land use map is that we consider all possible impacts to all specific elements of the comprehensive plan, including goals and conservation of natural resources areas, land use. And we've gone through a lot of those are really impacted in this unit already. We do have goals for economic prosperity in Orange County. Staff did just note that there is a relationship of a tight labor market to that can be compounded by a shortage of housing. While this is only four lots, that's something to think about, that we are creating new housing opportunities through this subdivision. And then regarding transportation goals and efficiency plans, again, we did just note that the county engineer said that there is no plan to pay funds for the fix yet and has made help working the applicant to make changes to the flats and have shared access to improve the standards for the approval for the rezoning. The first standard is that it shall conform to the CGC plan, so that's why they're requesting the CGC plan amendment. This is just a map to show you that in yellow, all the other properties shown in yellow are designated rural residential in the CGC plan already. So, you know, a lot of the adjacent parcels aren't under this designation, they're compatible with surrounding land. The proposed rezoning shall conform to statement of intent. The statement of intent for the agricultural district is to interrelate limited housing activity with agriculture, protect agriculture, not allow isolated rural dwellings. The staff finds that because of the protection of the outlet for the ag lands, but also residentially from surrounding properties, so the intent of the AR district. The proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses. Already gone through that with the CGC plan amendment. And then we also have provisions for protecting natural resources, which there aren't any on this parcel. And then that the lease is for is under 267, and in this case, 237 for the property. For the subdivision, staff has found that all standards for a minor subdivision are met. We included getting letters of acknowledgement from utility providers and the fire chief for the area. And the interagency review team waived the requirement that contours be shown on the plat, and the department found available contours to LIDAR are sufficient. We grabbed it for interagency review. In addition to the county engineer's comments, the environmental health department noted that an engineer will have to complete site review for the soils because of this subdivision. Planning and development staff noted that if an area of one or more acres is disturbed, then they will need an NPDES permit from the Iowa DNR. So in the construction of those dwellings, if they all happen at the same time, if one acre is disturbed, they will have to work with the DNR on that. We sent notice to property owners within a quarter mile. We did receive one comment from an adjacent neighbor that posted a plea gen center, and that was in opposition. Staff, in looking at the comments, felt that a lot of the questions the neighbor had were actually addressed by standards for the rezoning or questions about utility service, questions about being compatible with the area. And I believe the property owner has been spoken to the neighbor as well. So if you have any questions on that. And then again, the city of Hudson and Cambridge is 2 miles approved for the subdivision. At the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, the commission had questions about the note on the plat that the outlot was to be reserved for agricultural purposes and if that was binding. Staff communicated that in order to remove a note from the subdivision plat, you have to replat the subdivision, which would require approval of property owners within the subdivision. The commission also asked if there's a narrow frontage from outlet A to 560th, if in the future that could be developed as a road, if for some reason outlet A were developed. And that communicated with the county engineer on this. The outlet A's narrow frontage is 50 feet, and so that would be sufficient for a road, but because it's so close to the corner of 300 and 568, it's questionable whether or not it would meet separation distances for site and new roads. The because there's an existing drive there, there might be an exception, but otherwise it does not need separation distance for roadway from intersection. And so with that, the Planning and Building Commission did recommend approval with that condition, so that is alternative one of the resolution for the DTC plan amendment, subdivision, and the rezoning. So any questions for me?
I don't have a question. I have more of a comment.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is back to the county engineer's request
mm-hmm.
about it. I understand why he wants it, and he made it, you know, very clear. The notes when you read the report indicate if he's already getting complaints from the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
They moved out there. They love the country, but they don't love the dust. They don't love the conditions that come with actually kind of that country living and stuff. So my concern about putting that comment on the plat is related to what you just said about then it wants the comments on a plat, the notes on a plat, you'd have to replat to remove it. And just saying there are no plans to pave this road, we do a yearly five-year plan, and every year that five-year plan is updated. And we don't really have the obligation or the ability to bind future boards from making that decision. So my concern is if we put it on the plat now and it's hanging out there, okay, it may be a warning that's not valid for future boards and future five-year plans. And so I empathize with our engineer because I know this is not the only area where he gets these calls from saying, pave. I remember being out here in 2016, and I was trying to figure out how I could live on Dream Lake, actually, even water ski on it. So it's great. But so I agree with going with no conditions or those kind of notes because I just don't think we can put that kind of generic statement on a plat.
Do you think if we put that kind of a statement on a plat and dated it, said as of June whatever, 2019, the county has no plans to pave the road, that doesn't give the impression that we're never going to pave it. It just says as of this date there aren't, so somebody would know to inquire if that change had been made. I can understand where the engineer would want it there, and I unless there's a legal reason not to put a note on, I think if we could date it, that might help people understand the, you know, that it's not a forever thing.
And again, so the surveyor refused to put the note on the plat,
mm-hmm.
so this note would actually be another whereas
they didn't
think
before.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
So then let's put it, is that appropriate to put this kind of a note in the ordinance?
It would be...
Do we have notes like this?
I'm looking outward.
Yeah, in other... And Jerry and I discussed this, and in other resolutions where there's an annexation happening, we do frequently put another statement in there, whereas the Board of Supervisors supported a previous anchor and fringe plan amendment.
I see.
Now this is being requested.
I see the county attorney shaking her head. I might ask you to come to the microphone and explain what
sure.
that statement means. For the record, I can't say. County attorney shook her head.
You're going to take advantage
yes,
of that.
Please. Good morning, Jessica Reynolds, Mr. County Attorney. I recommend that not be included in the ordinance. I completely understand why that would that they would want that, but I think that would cause potential legal issues in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think I could concur that it is up to somebody who's purchasing property to do their due diligence about something like that, rather than, you know, I don't know, building right next to an airport and asking when the airport's going to be torn down, mm-hmm. kind of reverse. So, okay. Do you have any questions?
I don't actually. My questions were answered, so.
That happens a lot.
And then I have one more comment.
And then
I know I said only one, and then I realized there were two. This is in general as we look at the entire issue of shortage of housing in Story County. About that, when you noted that there's shortage of housing, having driven through that area, like I said, spending a couple afternoons out there a couple years ago, I don't see this type of housing as being the answer to where the shortages are. But that doesn't mean it's not valid housing to build. It's just not addressing the low, moderate, and starter housing needs that we keep on hearing over and over again. So I just want to make a note of that.
Sure, and we absolutely recognize that. I think we were just getting at more of the rural housing on larger lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I'm done. Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I will open this public hearing on this and invite anybody who's a member of the public to come to the microphone if you'd like to make a statement. Seeing nobody moving to the microphone, I will close the public hearing. I would entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 283. Do you want them separate?
You can do them all together.
Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 283, resolution 19-122 and 19-123.
I'd still move that.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, motion by Olson, second by Heddens.
Are you wanting to approve it on first consideration?
Yeah, that was why we need to split them out. Shall we go?
No, you don't have to split them out. I was
going to ask for a motion on first consideration.
Okay, so may I amend my motion? Okay, I move that we approve resolution 19-122 and resolution 19-123, and we also approve ordinance 283 on first consideration, setting second consideration for June 28th.
Great. Is there a second to the amendment?
I second.
Thank you. First we'll vote on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment? Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Okay, now we'll vote on the amended motion. Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Got through it. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Sorry. I just want to make sure. Did you mean to do it on the 28th or the 25th?
That's what I thought.
25th is the Tuesday.
It's the 25th.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that that's correct.
And when I saw June 28th, here, I meant to do it on the 25th.
On my agenda.
Yeah, but it is the 25th.
Technical correction.
Yeah.
But it's the 25th.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now we're through it. Okay, additional items, discussion, consideration of appointment to the Commission on Veterans Affairs for an unexpired term ending June 30, and we are I'm nominating Luke Vance. He's a resident of Story County. He has a bachelor's degree in agriculture from Northwest Missouri State University, and he was a staff sergeant in the U.S. Army Reserves, has leadership experience as an instructor in the Army, completed senior leadership training with the Army, did one tour of duty, Operation Iraqi Freedom. And he is a lifetime resident of Story County and would like to serve on the Commission on Veterans Affairs. Is there a motion to accept his nomination?
I move that we accept his nomination.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Motion by Olson, second by Heddens. Any further discussion? If not, we'll vote. Olson?
Yes. Okay. I just want to make a comment once again. Thank you to the latest round of applicants, and they were all really excellent and brought forth great ideas.
We did have an excellent applicant. Yeah. Thank you for that comment.
Aye.
Merkin, aye. Okay. Now we will go to the agenda item that will take some time, I think, as we will go through it item by item. And what it is discussion consideration of the job description for the Director of External Operations and County Services. The reason we're considering changes to that right now, or looking at whether we should consider changes, is that we do, as we all know, have a vacancy coming up in that position. Reluctantly accepted Deb's resignation to go to the City of Ames. So when you have a vacancy in a position, it's always good to look at a job description and say, are there any things that we should change before we post the position? Well, Supervisor Olson and I did provide Alyssa Wignall with some suggested changes, and so what I would propose that we do is simply go through it kind of piece by piece, job duty by job duty, or section by section, and discuss it. And then Alyssa said she would keep notes as if we arrive at some consensus through the discussion, and then hopefully we can vote on all of it at the end. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Do you want to explain, or do you want me to explain? I can do it.
Explain
each section.
Sure, I can just go through section by section, and
okay.
we'll go that way.
That would be great.
All right, so we're just going to start at the top of the job description and go through there. So the first portion is the general definition of work. I do want to make a statement, both in the attached Supervisor Merkin and Supervisor Olson's revisions. For some reason, my Access database didn't put performs complex professional work. It just said performs work. It will stay in there as complex professional work. I must have needed to go in and re-click that. It just didn't generate that. So the only requested change to that general definition of work is to delete the word all in front of county board directives. So I don't know if anybody or if Lisa has any questions or any recommendations for that.
No, I think for me that was fine.
Then I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So are we okay?
We both requested.
Okay, is the general definition of work then, as you've discussed it, keeping the complex professional work and deleting the term
all,
that we're okay with this?
Yep. Well, I did have one question that Alyssa and I discussed here, and the last sentence, and it was, we did not do a deletion on it after talking to Alyssa and decided this would be something at the board. Position provides leadership and management to the organization as a whole. And I had asked about putting a period after provides leadership and management, period, to the organization as a whole. And my question and consideration to Alyssa was that because there are other elected officials who provide leadership to their positions. But Alyssa did point out to me, I just want to let you know that this about this discussion. Alyssa pointed out this is exactly what it says for her job description also as internal director of operations, and that this one should be parallel. So we left it as is, but I just was concerned if there were other elected officials. You know, apparently they did not complain so far, so I'm not trying to create a problem where there isn't one. I just wanted to point that out. Okay, thank you.
Then continuing on to the qualification requirement.
That's just the general statement in all job descriptions. Yep, that's your typical language we put in there.
Okay, and
yeah.
No changes there. So then we go on to essential function one.
Mm-hmm. And the only change was requested by Supervisor Olson. She wants to add provides reports to the board summarizing monitoring and evaluation edits. Efforts.
And as Alyssa and I discussed that one, in Alyssa helping me to understand the goal of this particular document, she suggested that that would go on a separate of expectations that we would, as a board, create for the new person. That's more of an expectation rather than a bold kind of equation on it. And that is why it was omitted from then what you
originally put in, because you left this source, this section of just providing reports.
Originally
had like timely and
yes, you're right, timely and whatever.
And whatever.
So I'm good either way. If you want to put it as an expectation instead, or if you want to put it in here.
And just to put a little note, this does. I mean, it depends on each supervisor. I know. The internal and external directors have met with individual supervisors, and we meet with Loris on a monthly basis and kind of go over the departments that we supervise and kind of give an update. It depends on the individual supervisor, how often they want it. But Loris and I did have a pretty lengthy conversation about that and what to put in a job description and what is more of an expectation.
No, I'm comfortable with how it's written here. I do think that with any position, you do have more internal expectations that you clarify even further that don't necessarily have to be on this particular document. So I'm fine with how it is written.
Thank you. So leave the reports off. Keep it as is.
Keep it as is.
As in the current.
Keep number one as is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just want to make sure I get everything.
No, that's good. I appreciate you taking the notes as we're discussing. It makes it easier.
Okay. So the next one in the current job description, it reads, researches administrative issues pertaining to county government, identifies needs, problems, and opportunities for the county, and develops appropriate program efforts, analyzes the impact the political, programmatic, and policy changes will have on the county operations. Laura's in Supervisor Olson's request, she wants to drop the term political in front of programmatic.
And the reason I wanted to drop political is it could be interpreted a couple of different ways, and I at least am sensitive to members of the public reading and wondering, thinking of the political as in the more campaigns, et cetera, policies, by party, all of that, as opposed to a staff member advising, well, you do this politically, this might happen. And I think that's our role, is to ascertain the political implications, but certainly the staff to analyze the programmatic and policy changes on county operations is very appropriate. But political to me is a little more charged. And I
did not read it as partisan politics. I read it as government and what happens to government, and the emphasis of government is a political thing. I mean, it's when I see political, I think what's going on in the legislature that might impact the county, what's going on a federal level that might impact the county. I'm not thinking about campaigns and elections or any of that. I'm thinking about what happens in the government, other levels of government that might impact Story County, and that's where I don't see it, and I don't have a problem with it, because that's my definition. It does not include partisan.
If we left it in, would you be comfortable then, in as we look at directing the new person, to make it clear that this is not something to be looking at the State House as a political analysis, that we would be looking instead? Just what the State House is doing in general is one thing. Politically, though, that person's to not make the shift into what would be the partisan part of it. I think just my experience here has been that when there have been some partisan hot issues down at the legislature, the supervisors have jumped in anyway. That's what's happened from a practical aspect, is that staff has not been doing political activity at all. Instead, it has been just about, this is where we sit in our realm to deal with that, to make those phone calls, to do those inquiries.
You're saying you wouldn't have this position contacting the legislator about pending legislation?
That is correct. That is, I believe sincerely, that is our job, and I also, it's my own personal political belief that we should not be paying, using taxpayer money, to be having a paid staffer contact an elected politician down at the legislature. Making an inquiry of the Legislative Services Board, which is a nonpartisan agency that does research. You tell me who they are. You say you worked with them for 17 years. I'm concerned about the difference. I do draw a real line between the
two. Yeah, I take this down to
Number six. Yeah, that's what I was looking at as well.
Monitor state and federal legislative activities, identifying bills of interest. We're moving some things around there, but it says serves as county representation to lobby legislators state.
I deleted that.
It's
the same. It is the same. I think that's our role at $82,000 a year that we're each being paid. I mean, that is our role, to be contacting the legislators and doing the lobbying, and the staff providing the information we need for the lobbying.
I'm in the awkward position with my old hat on and my new hat on. I just know with my previous hat on, certainly I had more contact with the supervisors than the staff in the position, although I did have some contact from the staff within the position. I also worked more with actually the county lobbyist who provided information or did the reach out. And I'm not sure if they reached out directly to the county supervisors or the staff on that.
to garner that, all of that information.
I think they reached out to both.
Did they? And they certainly may have, they may have at some. I just know from that position, I wasn't sure who they reached out to. I just know the information was gathered and given back to me.
I found that position to be gathering the information from anybody that needed it to give to whoever was needing the information.
I like Lisa's description on this because I think practically that is more what does happen, because you're right, county engineers have their own affiliates and the auditors have their, we've got lots of affiliates there, okay? But so once again, I'm back to if the supervisors are going to be doing the lobbying, or the county auditor is going to be doing the lobbying, or the county treasurers are going to be doing the lobbying, that it should be the elected officials taking the lead, whatever possible. There are affiliates like planning and development and engineering that do have their own strong affiliates, conservation, and then their conservation, their board does. But I just feel that even putting lobbying in here and then the political on there, I don't like the message it sends that if there's a lead role being taken, certainly the researching of the information, behind the scenes, the gathering of some information that the affiliates have not gathered, or the gathering of information that an affiliate may have asked and for some reason come to this position, as opposed to the direct representative of that affiliate, like the planning or like secondary roads, because normally that's where the contact occurs. But Lisa is correct. I like that explanation of that it's broader about sometimes gathering information on it. I just really, lobbying to me is describes contact between people and directly their state legislators for the purpose of influencing or providing information for the influence of a political position. And so I feel that's the elected supervisor's duty first, or to, you know, it's not this position's job to lobby.
I think as I kind of read the statements too, both in two, particularly in six, it's kind of defining the word lobbies, because you're asking the person in number six to monitor state and federal bills or regulations, mm-hmm. and, you know, to develop those, the directions or strategies. So I also kind of read it as that person's kind of lobbying us as to why we should be in support or against something that may impact the counties. So they may not have contact with legislators,
mm-hmm.
but they're providing us that information, and that term lobbying could meet that same criteria as well.
Would you be open up to the insertion of lobbies, board of supervisors, for these changes?
I would not.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure that's quite the word that you'd
lobbies.
Here's my thought, if I might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when we're in a legislative session, that we don't want to preclude staff from lobbying on things that we as a county think are important. If we start saying only the supervisors can do that, there's some things that happened this last legislative session that should not have happened. Our conservation director went down and lobbied at various sessions regarding some restrictions that were being put on about buying land. He was very effective. He went with other conservation directors.
Mm-hmm.
I just think from the conversation we had here, if we took the political out, I don't think it would just impact this position. I think it would impact other positions that we want down there. And let me finish, please.
Okay.
I do think that the Board of Supervisors does provide direction as a supervisor. I would hope that anybody who was going to lobby on behalf of the county would let us know that, would say, here's this bill. We want to let you know this. Are you supportive of us lobbying for that? And I think that would be appropriate. But I think only supervisors talking to legislators would really hamper us. That's from listening to this conversation, that's what I'm hearing. And I'm afraid with what you said, if we took political out of there, your expectation would be that we could not have supervisors talking with legislators.
No, we could not have the director of external operations. So that was when I kind of did that breath type thing. Because you talked about the conservation director, and this isn't a job description for the conservation director.
Okay, we might have the engineer down there. We might have planning and zoning director down there. We may have people down there that this position supervises.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why we would say this position can't, but department heads can. I don't quite understand the logic of that.
I understand the differences that you guys are adding to this. I am taking lobbying in you talk to 15, 25 people on the street and you say lobbying down at the State House. What is their mental vision about what someone is doing? That's what and not having the breadth of knowing that all these other department heads go down. This is what most reasonable people on the street who have the average knowledge of politics would say. Oh, we are paying someone to go down and directly lobby. And so I'm taking it very literally. You guys are talking about a broader spread on it.
I'm sorry, I'll let you finish.
Yes, I know.
I don't see it necessarily or read it necessarily as this person's going to be down in Des Moines lobbying. There's lobbyists down there that lobby on behalf of the county. How I'm reading it is they are providing additional information for me. So they are kind of on your behalf re-emphasizing the direction or the support or the ideals of the Board of Supervisors. That could be, you know, I could run into that person in the grocery store and they said, you know, hey, did you happen to see this particular issue? You know, supervisors are busy. I just don't know that the supervisors are going to be available all the time to provide that information. And I wouldn't want to limit discussions on important issues that are going to impact Story County.
At the same time, if that person is speaking to you as one individual, giving his or her own opinion at the grocery store, I think that's appropriate. We're talking about what somebody might do in their official duties here on that. Okay, so really where the difference is in the use of the word lobbies, because as was read by Supervisor Mergen, I do take some comfort in the clause at the direction of the Board of Supervisors. So there would be an expectation that no one would go down, okay, without approval of their oversight board. In conservation, by the way, that would be the board of the conservation board who actually would say that, not us.
Right. Yes, it is, but that person is still a county employee.
That is
one thing I do want to note in the original job description. It didn't say serve, it says service, but it should have said serves as county representation to lobby legislators at the state capitol as directed by the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, so
I don't know if you want to keep, I know that language was changed in both of the revisions, but that was in the original one, so that they may have went and talked to whoever was lobbying on uncertain bills, but that it was at the direction of the board. So it's not like that position went and did it without approval or without some direction given to them. So I don't know how you want to word that. I know we have two different essential functions. That number two is just analyzing the impact of those changes, the political, whether they're state or federal, any programmatic changes and policy changes, and how that will impact county operations. So that I view that as after something's passed, they kind of review and look at how that's going to impact county operations, whether it's a new mandate or something.
Right.
So that's how I view number two.
Okay.
Number six, in the original job description, I know we have some difference in numbering. That would be the more the lobbying and how it was originally written.
So in the interest of time, let me just try to move us on and say, do we have consensus on whether or not to take out the word political? Are you still wanting that taken out, Laura?
Well, given what Alyssa has just said, the political in two better meets, I think, the definition we're all thinking of, and lobbying, as in the going down there and directly approaching, is the one that's a little more problematic for me. So if we left political in two, but then came down to six, and how about advocates instead of lobbying for these changes? Advocates
Would that work?
Can we wait until we get to number six? Unless you want to move number
sorry.
Six up. I just want to keep everything
to the two.
I'm going to try to the two because I'm going back
separate.
To the political.
Yeah,
okay, I'll accept the keeping the political then at number two.
Okay. All right. And the only other thing that Supervisor Olson wanted to add was in front of develops appropriate program efforts, propose the term proposes and develops.
Proposes and develops.
Where are we?
It's another two. It's the second.
I've gone back to the
identifies needs, problems, and opportunities for the county. She is asked to insert proposes and develops.
It's not in the document.
It's not in the original. It is in her revision.
Right.
It's
I, have no problem.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. So insert proposes, that's the
it
only
proposes.
Change.
Right, because
okay,
we may have some,
okay. Yeah.
Some instances where it's identified and proposed by the director, but we think that it's a better, there's a different department head or whatever to actually develop.
I'm saying, what I'm hearing is everybody's okay with
yeah.
proposes, so Alyssa,
okay.
if you
yeah,
can
proposes
add
and develop. So number two is complete.
Okay.
I actually have one other question,
sure.
but number two. So just where it has the identify needs, problems, and opportunities, I'm assuming, and maybe not, that you're identifying needs and problems means also identifying gaps.
Correct.
That we have. Okay.
You want gaps
that's
in there?
I just
want
to, yeah, I thought of putting gaps in there, too, just to make sure we're clear. But if you are clear that that would include that, then I'm okay with it being as written.
Okay.
That's a good point. I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Alyssa, do you want to go on to the third one?
Sure. I think in both of them, they removed the language acts as liaison between elected officials and Board of Supervisors. And then they left, both of them left, and I'm just trying to look at both copies, I apologize. So it would read, assist the Board in establishing and maintaining effective relationships with elected officials, external agencies, and community organizations. Coordinate teamwork among all elected officials and department heads in the county.
Yeah, so we have the end department heads, both of them.
And took out two clauses.
Right. Yes, I think both of the supervisors had the same. It's different than the original one.
No, I thought that read fine.
So you used the revised.
All three okay with the change presented, which was the same. Okay, good. On to number four.
There were no changes.
So we're okay with number four not changing?
Uh-huh. Correct.
Correct. Number five, Alyssa?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay.
These are a little bit different in the revisions. The current reads represents the Board of Supervisors at business civic meetings, reports concerns, and make recommendations to the Board. That was left as is in Supervisor Merkin's. Supervisor Olson combined it in number seven, which reads, works with boards and commissions and agencies under the board's span of control, represents the board on various committees as assigned.
So I just thought kind of redundant given going down there.
Do you want it to number seven as the business civic meetings?
No. I believe that's our job. If we assign someone to do that, I think that's appropriate. But I believe that it is our job to be, we're talking about the Board of Supervisors here, okay, that I believe that it's our primary emphasis to attend those business and civic meetings also, unless we specifically delegate it to this particular position or another position. And we delegate many of those anyway, but I'd like to have it be a more deliberate delegation on that.
Would you want something to say more like may represent the Board of Supervisors at business or civic meetings?
Well, and that's why back to it just seemed to me that taking out number five and then combining it with the, where was the one?
Number seven.
Seven.
Represents
okay.
the board on
it represents
committee
the board.
Assigned.
Yeah. That just seemed to me is that fit in with that entire area because they're already represented on the asset team. But if you want to leave it as a separate item and may represent,
certainly because the report's concerns and makes recommendations to the board, we're hoping that all of our department heads and our senior staff are always thinking and looking for opportunities and giving them to the board, you know, for ideas. So
may represent is acceptable to you?
That's acceptable. So I'm going to add may.
Okay, with may. Okay. Then we go on to which? Six?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is the where you had that previous discussion. So proposes monitor state and federal legislative activities, identifying bills of interest and concerns for the county. I think both had that at the direction of the board. Works with, there's a little bit of difference. And Supervisor Olson is where it works with internal stakeholders to assemble information and develop strategies. And then Supervisor Merkin, it says to work to develop strategies to influence the modification. So there's not as much change to the original function that's in the current job description.
Mm-hmm. Right. And my thoughts on this one are with the internal, emphasizing internal stakeholders, is that if we are in fact in a situation where there are multiple stakeholders, internal and external, the board needs to have that discussion about who would be the appropriate representative from the county once again, not an automatic assumption on that. Does it mean that this position wouldn't interact with external stakeholders on it, but that it not be a given assumption until the board has an opportunity to discuss it?
If it simply says that the direction of the board of supervisors works to develop strategies to influence the modification, passage, or defeat of bills, that would be doing it at the direction so the supervisors could decide whether the person was within the
strategy. And I'm good with that also. I'm good with that language also.
So then we could simply take out the with applicable county departments and
correct
offices?
Correct.
Okay, and just, it would say then monitor state and federal legislative activities, identifying bills of interest and concern for the county, then mm-hmm. at the direction of the Board of Supervisors works to develop strategies to influence the modification, passage, or defeat of bills, and just jump that clause there. Because I thought the best suit the county's interest was not a necessary phrase, and why not just delete it?
That's good. That's fine. I thought you inserted it.
Mm-hmm. I did? No.
Yeah. No. Okay. And then that's
no, it's in the original, and I right. didn't think it was necessary.
Okay. Period. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Or
yeah.
actually,
yep,
it's a semi-fold.
Yep.
Okay.
Then when we go,
So the
county representation.
Yes.
How about may represent the county to advocate with legislators?
That's good.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take it totally out because, I wouldn't want it to limit where we're only able to do something when we don't have the time or the ability, and we need some quick action. We want to be able to have someone who can step in and do that.
I got that. Thank you for your perspective on that, too.
Sure.
And you're right. We do get hit up at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So I think what we're agreeing with is may represent the county to advocate with legislators at the state capitol as directed by the Board of Supervisors. I think we could take at the state capitol out, and that doesn't mean anything to me about location, but it may be federal
right.
Legislators mm-hmm. as well. So if it just said may represent the county to advocate with legislators as directed by the Board
yes.
of Supervisors.
To advocate as directed. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I'm going to reread. I'm going to read that.
Yes,
make sure. I have to read it correctly.
Sorry, we're doing this.
No, you're fine. I just want to make sure. The only thing that wasn't put in before I read that was advises effective offices and departments of impact on enacted legislation. I think that's covered in number two.
Yes.
Analyzes the impact and policy changes
yes.
we'll have on county operations. So I don't
okay.
think that needs to be added again in six.
Good point. Okay.
So this is what I have. monitors state and federal legislative activities to identify bills of interest and concern for the county. At the direction of the Board of Supervisors, works to develop strategies to influence the modification, passage, or defeat of bills, may represent the county to advocate with legislators as directed by the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Does that work?
Okay.
That sounds good.
Good.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm just going to make
okay,
a note.
Okay, let's change it. Good. Yes, take your time to...
No, I think I got it.
You're doing great job, Alyssa.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Then we have number 7 in the original that has the serves as county representative on the asset administrative team. I show no changes on that. No proposed changes.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
Right. Okay,
yep.
We're fine. No changes to 7.
Okay. Number 8. current says acts as principal liaison between county board and other boards and commissions. In Supervisor Merkin, it's as is, and Supervisor Olson removed access principal liaison. This was kind of the whole change. I don't know what you want to leave in there as far as boards and commissions. That needs to be a discussion of the board.
Well, I substituted with works with boards and commissions and agencies under the board's span of control. And one of the things that I heard twice in the last probably 7 months, okay, and we know in one with the VA commission, it was discussed here, or mentioned here at the board table, is that some of these boards and commissions would like to feel like they would are prevented from reaching out to the supervisors because of how the chain of command seemed to be set up, and they wanted to respect the chain of command. And so if we remove principal liaison and instead says works with boards and commissions and agencies, we still retain that this person provides the support on boards and commissions, certainly, which has been valuable as we've gone through several different appointments already in the first 6 months of the year, but does not necessarily state in the job description as the principal liaison. So that prior, in the, I hate to say the olden days, in the previous days at various times, different configurations have been tried. And there have been sometimes the board splits their liaison assignments, has split in the past their liaison assignments with boards and commissions. At the beginning of this year, the discussion was about whoever the chair is going out, maybe and trying to check in quarterly, not that the rest of us can't, but that would be kind of one of a chair duty, et cetera. So I just wanted to remove that act as principal liaison and then just say works with. And so that it's a broader way, but it does not possibly imply to anyone or state, actually, because you go to this position first, especially when we're talking about volunteers on boards and commissions. So.
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem with having works. I'm just trying to think of, you know, kind of that triangle where you funnel up information. And I what you're saying is you want people to have that ability or feel comfortable to go to whomever. I would absolutely want that as well. But I also think you want to make sure that it's clear who a point of contact can be or...
Sure. So the board can say, okay, you may feel free to contact the point of contact, you know, always, this is one where starting with the board, is the chair is a good person if reachable. Then did you want to talk to another board member? Or depending on what the point of contact is, maybe it is this director of external operations first. It depends whether there is a concern or a suggestion that this position isn't able to enact or, you know, approve. It needs to come to the board anyway. Maybe that person wants to talk to the board. Maybe it is more of a procedural type thing where this person would be the appropriate resource in it. Oh, okay. So, So it is, but to say that this is the principal contact, as I said, I heard from people serving on two different boards that felt that this was not as working as comfortably for them, using it as a principal contact, as in the past, maybe when they felt more able to go to a member of the board first.
Well, I don't think we're ever telling commission members that they can't come talk to a member of the board. What I like about having the liaison title or phrase is it provides some direction of what works with is. The phrase works with, to me, is pretty broad and nebulous, and we're hiring a new person, and I think about that. Works with. I wonder what that means, and I don't want the person getting, you know, three different interpretations of what works with means. You know, maybe not, but maybe. And I also think having a liaison provides consistency in our process for appointing commission members, for getting applicants, and for appointing them, and for dealing with them in general. I like the liaison. You know, I don't know if it needs to be say principal liaison, the liaison, I don't know, but I like the consistency in the process that having one person, and it's also responsibility. I just remember one, you know, if we don't have somebody who's really, who's say this is their responsibility, we get to the point of the old adage, if everybody's responsible, nobody's responsible.
Yes.
What would you want it to read then? Because it sounds like
I think out principal.
Yeah. And would you have it as
A or X as
A or X as the
A
liaison?
I'd prefer the because it sounds like then there's so many other liaisons. And I don't think we're talking about supervisors being liaisons.
We're not. We're not talking about them handling that workflow and handing out when certain boards need to be appointed. And so I dropped the ball on one of those. I will admit it was the compensation board and on me. So it's more as the liaison. Okay. The principal implies, is I guess the word that bothers me, though. Okay. I'll take back as the liaison, and then that can be, you know, natural workflow would be interpreted on more of the process,
sure,
whereas the actual conduit of information still flows.
So we change the word principal to the.
The. Okay.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, then on to.
The next one has to do with the countywide budgets. There were no proposed changes. So number 9 in the current.
Leave as is.
Correct.
Okay.
Number 10, states works with emergency management agency to provide leadership and support during disasters or other emergencies. It was removed in Supervisor Olson's revisions and left in Supervisor Merkin's revisions.
And the discussion that Alyssa and I had was based in great part upon the exercises for Coop Cog we've had, the last two especially. The Coop Cog plan, Lisa, is what would the county do internally if we had to shut down one or more locations, or our scenario was if the entire Midwest, if not the U.S., lost power for a long time period. Okay. So what we discovered in kind of acting this out as a tabletop operation was that there were some, even in this very carefully detailed, well-written plan that had been worked out, about who actually is the authority to move forward with some of these emergency plans, all right? And what we discovered at the last exercise is that it really still comes back to the supervisors have to do something and activate staff to go do things. And in the Coop Cog itself, this position, along with the Director of Internal Operations, they get slammed with several different roles all at one time. And those are our focus, starting with the Board of Supervisors and the departments they control and whatever. And so to me, it seems like this is redundant as opposed to what we've got this position assigned to in others. That if this is here with works with emergency management agency, this is not outside of the Board of Supervisors and what the supervisors are going to assign. Also, what has happened in a scenario that we've had related to activation of the
the Incident Command Center down in the basement, which is not dependent on us vacating, but instead we've got that flood, we've got that tornado, all right? We discovered that we were using the external operations manager as a backup for public information, which also then flows through communication, et cetera. So this position itself has so many of what we're going to assign just by the Board of Supervisors as our current emergency procedures are set up, that I'm not sure we want to say that you're also going to be, the way I read it, remember, I think you're learning I'm very literal sometimes, okay, is that work with Emergency Management Agency, is that this would be separate from whatever we're having this position do. So I just found it kind of redundant or unnecessary to be in there. That's why. Because to me, as listing it instead, it's like, oh, and these are a whole separate assignment of the duties as opposed to everything we've already done.
I had talked with Keith Morgan before I saw that you were taking this out. I went back and talked with Keith Morgan, our emergency management coordinator, and we talked through this. I read him the language that you had proposed before you decided to delete it. And I asked him if he had definite feelings. I asked Keith if he could be here today. He said he could not because he's on vacation.
Okay.
I said, may I quote you unless if so? He said, yes. I said, let's make sure that I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he said. There's both a coordination aspect and a leadership aspect to what the Director of Internal Operations and County Services does here.
External, you mean?
Well, actually said goals, but we're talking about the external.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about Alyssa's job description, but I think I'll talk about
that. We've got some parallels there. Mm-hmm.
Board of Supervisors makes the decisions. The board must rely on the directors, plural, to lead the process, to inform the decisions, and to implement the decisions. So he thought it should be there with both leadership and support. He also did like including the public information officer role in the job description. He said, I would include that. So he agreed with you on that.
Okay.
But he said it should be in, and his feeling was it does provide leadership. Whereas the Board of Supervisors does decision making. The directors lead the process, bring the information to the board, and the board does the decision making. And I thought that was pretty clear.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with it saying provide leadership. As you said, it is leadership and it is coordination.
Did you get the feeling from him he had any problem with we added, as we've added just a couple places above, even though it's implied it's always with the direction of the board, but that we make it clear that it's the board providing then the authority to go forward, and then he's working with them directly. So
he did not talk about the board directing the directors in doing their information gathering and making the recommendations. He talked about that they're part of the CUPCOG. The supervisor's part is making the decisions. So I
right.
And that's how I understood it. I did not understand saying the board will tell the directors how to go collect information or do that.
Okay, and I wasn't interpreting that isn't what I meant by that. That's good. The difference is in what we're envisioning in our hands. Okay,
no, I'm sorry. Could you just reread what he said?
Yeah.
He said, there's a coordination aspect and a leadership aspect to this job duty. The Board of Supervisors make the decisions. They rely on the directors of external and internal operations to lead the process to inform decisions, in other words, go collect, get the information, and to implement the decisions of the board.
Okay.
That was his strong feeling about how this process should operate. And I believe the CUPCOG myself gives adequate direction to those two directors that they can go do that and know what they need to do without coming to the supervisors and saying, we have an emergency, what should we do?
Well, we just have a packet, which we can talk about, you know, which is can be hashed out later. So leaving it in with maybe using his wording himself, okay? So work with Emergency Management Agency to
provide leadership and coordination.
Actually, what did he say about to gather information and, you know, to actually list what he feels those duties would be? Because there, he's the one who will be in charge on that, on this.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we spell that out right there?
I have a suggestion.
I would leave it for Ron. I wouldn't spell out everything because we're going to miss something.
Yeah,
so I would leave it for Ron. In the description.
On the COOP COG.
Yeah, it's spelled out in the COOP COG or anything else. In an actual job description, I tend to leave things a little bit broad because we're going to forget, and then it's going to be a question as to whether they do that or not.
All right. Do you have a problem with this adding public information officer?
You could put serves as public information office, PIO. That's part of the whole emergency management.
Mm-hmm. Or should we keep that to the COOP COG?
Well, that's more than just the COOP COG.
It's okay. More than just the COOP.
That would be if emergency management would enact their, I don't remember the term. That's separate from the COOP COG.
Correct.
And I can look back at Leanne.
Right.
And they're separate.
So PIO and COOP COG. Serve as a PIO. Because we also, I believe, have that, and I'm going to look out at Deb and Leanne. Don't we still have both of you assigned as PIOs?
There's three of us.
Oh, there's
so that is covered.
Oh,
so when you get into a situation like this,
they'll be working shifts.
There's
multiple,
right? Yeah.
So public information officer.
Public information officer.
Yep.
Does that work?
Yep, that works.
All right.
Works.
Okay. So
we're leaving as is and just adding serves as a public information officer.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, the next one serves as the public records liaison. That has not been changed. That verbiage is the same as current?
Correct.
Okay. And then the last piece collaborates with the Director of Internal Operations to provide staff training, development, and conduct staff meetings. That also did not have any revisions.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't know if you want it on here or if that would be more with whomever you hired and an expectation there. The other word is you could put and any additional duties as assigned by the board of directors or board of supervisors.
We actually have that up in the general definition of work.
Did I miss that?
It ensures compliance. It's in the fourth
section.
And related work, we have that in every job description.
Yep,
that way. So something new pops up.
Thank you.
Can find it.
Yeah.
Okay. The knowledge, skills, and abilities section, nothing was changed in either of them. When we look under education and experience, Supervisor Olson did request adding behind extensive experience, putting managing personnel. This position does manage directors and other personnel. So she had requested that we add that in there.
Not the only experience that we would reach.
No, we
it bothers me a little bit. It's like it's defining that the experience is only in management.
No, we can not put anything in there, and it's just experience as this type of position. When you go to do the job posting, we can sure add a requirement of having some management experience in that job posting, which we do. We alter the job description or job posting. The job descriptions are fairly broad in experience, and we do narrow some things down in the actual posting when we post for that position, because the hiring manager, which would be the board of supervisors in this situation, they have some specific credentials that they would like candidates to possess.
So would that be okay to just
draw? Yeah, I'm good with that too. And then I can put a in the job posting when we get that, when I develop that, I'll put something about managing personnel in there.
Yeah, because I'm going to assume somehow in the questions that are asked of the individuals too is you're going to want to know what is their extent of managing personnel.
Yeah. So we won't add that, but I will make a note just to make sure we have something in the job posting that outlines
good
that.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. And then the only other change, and it wasn't in this, and I apologize, we have it in all of our job descriptions. Apparently it wasn't in this one. Adding under special requirements, we put a statement, applicable position, department, organization, and professional training will be provided and must be completed upon hire and on an ongoing basis. And that's the standard language that we put. I apologize, it wasn't in there. I must have said
that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, good.
And then do you want to list, have this person listing 25?
Yeah, 25 versus 10. And that's just to be consistent with, I mean, 10 pounds isn't anything anymore. I mean, a box of paper if you go to do that. So I would recommend changing it to 25
pounds.
Okay,
Ben.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm good.
I'm curious, but when you get to environmental
conditions. No, I think that's it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
Were there any other changes? That seems to be all of them that have been suggested. So unless something has come up that's just very urgent or, oh, my gosh, we forgot something, maybe we can just go with this.
Yeah. I just have a quick question about, do we put exposure to bloodborne pathogens in all of our jobs?
There is some exposure. We have everybody do the training. I mean, you could have somebody spit on you when you're
right.
helping
okay,
them
thank
at the
you.
Counter.
I just
so
that
we
that
have been having that.
Right.
Some have a greater exposure to it, like if you're working within the jail or different items. But I think you could be walking down the hall and so we
cut.
Yeah, mm-hmm. different things. So. Yeah, we've been adding that to all of our job descriptions. So,
any further discussion of the job description in particular?
No. What I plan to do is go and update this, and then just distribute a copy to each of the supervisors. Just read through it to make sure I didn't miss anything,
so we can make sure.
Sure.
I know you need to, and if you could do that today, that would be great.
Yeah, I will go back right away.
Okay.
We'll try to get it posted tonight, if not tomorrow. I know that the tentative timeline that was approved does have the posting going out today. So
Would we be comfortable, rather than make a motion with all of these changes, could we just make a motion that says move to approve the changes as discussed?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does anybody want to make that motion?
I will make that motion. I move that we approve the Director of External Operations and County Services job description with the changes that have been discussed and agreed upon, a consensus, and given to Alyssa Wignall.
And I will second that.
Thank you. Further discussion?
None.
Okay, all in favor, Olson?
Aye.
Edmund?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye.
Thanks. This was a very pleasant discussion.
It was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for your patience. It was pretty technical, but it was something that I think was good for us to do. So I appreciate that. And Alyssa, I really appreciate all your work getting these changes.
I'll go get that done as soon as the meeting's done.
And
okay.
Alyssa, hopefully I will have access to my computer.
Okay.
can I have a hard copy?
Sure. I can print a hard copy.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yes.
You just don't have that mental vibe over
there. Yeah, not yet.
Okay. So thank you very much, Alyssa. And moving along, Jerry Moore from Department of Planning and Development for a resolution on voluntary annexation in South Bay.
Good morning, Jerry.
And you don't seem to have a red screen. That's good.
Voluntary annexation is usually pretty straightforward. It's doesn't have a name, but it's on the south side of Ames, and it includes 18 parcels, 18 properties, and 10 landowners, and it comprises approximately 156 gross area acres, 153 net acres. There are no non-consenting property owners, so everyone that's a part of this is for it. They support the annexation. The boundaries of the area are Oakwood Road to the north, Cedar Lane to the west, and University Boulevard to the east. This is in Washington Township. It's an A1 agricultural zoning district. It is located in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, and it's designated urban residential. And there is some natural areas, a drainage area that extends through some of the central portion of it. But in accordance with the policies of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, urban residential areas are prime to be annexed. It has to have that designation before a city, Gilbert, or Ames can annex the area. None of these properties are within a 100-year floodplain. So the big red star generally represents the location. We're south of Highway US 30. Again, we're west of University Boulevard. The northern boundary, again, is Oakwood Road. The western boundary is Cedar Lane. And the eastern boundary is University Boulevard. Land use is mixed. There are some single-family homes. There's like 10 dwellings in this area. There are some larger parcels that's in agricultural production right now. This is from the land surveyors, Bolton and Mink, and they provided a list of the 18 parcels. And again, they're providing the information on the 10 landowners, and then the total area, which again, gross, which includes part of the road right-of-way, is 156 acres, and that is about 153 acres. This shows you that area in a different way. Shows you each of the 18 parcels. It's represented by the gray color, and then the yellow represents the parcels. This is from the Ames Urban Fringe plan map. The area is urban residential. That's the golden brown color. There is a drainage area that extends through the central part of that. In accordance with the Ames Urban Fringe plan policy, those areas are supposed to be preserved and protected. And then south of that, you've got agricultural and farm service designation. Ames corporate limits is that red line. A little bit of background information. This is in the southwest growth area, so it's a targeted growth area. This is an area that the city has planned for growth. In accordance with the Ames Urban Fringe plan policies, densities that you might expect range anywhere from 3.75 units to 10 units per acre. The city does require a pre-annexation agreement to be signed by all the landowners. The staff have indicated that there's city water, sewer main, and sanitary sewer in close proximity that can be extended as areas develop. With this request, however, there's only one proposed development, and I'll get to that in a second here. Xenia World Water is in this area. And those folks who are on Xenia will continue to be served by Xenia until such time development is proposed. There's also Alliant Energy serving this area. So this map shows the southwest two growth area. It's the blue area, which again, this is part of the city's planning to provide extending services in this location, and they are supporting growth in this area. This is somewhat different from what Mr. Friedrich brought. I was before you last week. He was on the fringe of a growth area. This is actually in a targeted area that the city was planning on growth. So this shows you a perspective. It's actually two aerials combined. Pinnacle Properties is the proposed developer, and they have indicated that with their proposed development, they want to be able to connect the roads that they're planning with the existing neighborhood network. So that's going to be a part of what they're going to be submitting. We did have we were invited to a consultation on May 23, hosted by the Ames Planning and Housing Department. Supervisor Chair Merkin, City Planner Ray Anderson, this is one of his projects. Keith Arneson, Pinnacle Properties, was there. Bob Finch, representing West Story Fire Department, and the two land surveyors, Gene Dreyer, Luke Ahrens, were present, as well as myself. Mr. Finch did speak, basically raising a concern about what this would do to the revenues that they normally receive to operate their volunteer fire department. He did raise that concern, but also stated that he wouldn't be publicly opposing the annexation. And then, as I mentioned, the representative from Pinnacle Properties was there, did not have a conceptual drawing, but provided a verbal presentation about what was proposed. And they're looking at developing the Ferguson parcels. There's two or three parcels, a little less than 50 acres. They're proposing a development that's consistent with the city's comprehensive plan, so the planned residential development, varying residential lot sizes, that single-family development is what they're proposing. He indicated that there would be some green space, open space. There's a pond that they want to use as a feature to draw interest and preserve, and then also provide a bike trail and pedestrian path network. And as I mentioned, again, the goal is to connect this development with the existing development so that there's that consistency with other neighborhoods. And there is no plans right now. Did not mention it, but there, and I don't have my pointer. There's an old railroad right-of-way that bisects this annexation area.
Basically the diagonal line.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's northeast, southwest orientation, and the proposed development is on the west side of that old railroad right-of-way. But there's no proposed development on the east side as of yet. But again, we've got 18 properties, 10 landowners who are willing and interested to annex into the city. As far as maintenance, the county engineer indicated that the city maintains those portions of this proposed area. Currently, the county maintains the area south of that third cul-de-sac on University Boulevard, but he indicated that would be the agreement that we have would be renewed when it's time to renew them, which apparently is every 5 to 10 years. As far as the process, it's set out in state law, requires the City of Ames to send notice to the Board of Supervisors, City of Kelly, because they're within 2 miles of this proposed annexation area. So they're supposed to send a notice to the boards of the City of Kelly and the utilities in the area 14 days prior to taking action. They're also required to publish notice 10 days prior to taking action. And then, of course, it requires the City Development Board to act on it because of its proximity to the City of Kelly. The Ames Planning and Zoning Commission did approve it on June 5, and it's planned to be before the City Council on the 9th of July, and City Development Board is scheduled August 14, and the resolution was written to support it, and with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
And just to be clear, the City Development Board is the state, so it's the state. Thank you.
Even though it's voluntary, because it's within 2 miles, it requires the City Development Board to act on it.
I have no questions. Very clear, straightforward. Your staff report was really good.
We seem to have no questions. I'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 19-128.
Go for it.
Yep. I'll move to approve Resolution
19-128.
Sorry.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, Hedden?
Aye.
Olson? Aye.
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Adopt the resolution. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, now we will move on to department reports. Guys, we're going to be done by noon, aren't we?
Oh, some pressure there.
Hey, I just thought I'd mention it, see how we did.
Oh, you know me, I have questions.
Well, I do have
to sign this,
so. I'm just right here. This one? I can put it over here.
I will. We'll just get higher chairs.
Yeah.
Higher chairs.
More chairs. More chairs. We could have given them the line ones. See, I think we'd have had a color coordinated.
No, we're not having the line chairs.
Lime.
We ordered 7 chairs in gray, and we got 3 gray and 4 green.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
We
had a lot of colors. We could have gone with a rainbow back here if we wanted that.
Okay, Leanne, take it away.
Well, good morning, and I will try to sit as straight as I can and stretch out my spine. What I have for you is not a quarterly report, just an annual report. We've changed the format a little bit. I'm going to go over Overview, really talk about my work program, kind of timely since the new supervisor is joining today to get an idea of what my position's all about. Staff update, which I'll get to here shortly, and then what lies ahead. With that, I'd like to welcome Alexandra. We go by Alex, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've been calling her. She hasn't hit me yet. She started in early May and has been enjoying. We share office space. So we get to know each other really quickly, I think. But it's been a joy to have her, and I really appreciate a lot of the work product she's doing. And later on in the presentation, we'll talk about some of the social media planning that she's really overseeing, and then some of the flyers and stuff. And we'll be glad to answer any questions you have as we go. Okay. I'm going to start right into the work program. So I've just copied elements of the work program and included an update. And that blue does not show up very well, that light blue. But it's an annual calendar. It's based on a calendar year. And then by month, it helps guide my work products or my programs that I'm in, tackling. So starting with the capital improvements plan, if it's completed, you'll see a check mark or an X, or if it's underway, it says that, or an ongoing project, it says ongoing as well. As is known, the board did adopt the capital improvements, or yeah, the capital improvements plan in March and April. We had to delay it and bring it back this year, but with that, we're now into the next step of revising the story map. The story map is a pictorial display using geographic information systems of our capital improvements plan, and this is something I'll get Alex started on in July, learning that tool, but then going on taking pictures of projects, either underway or just have something that pictorially represents that capital improvements project.
And Leanne, because your presentation has several slides, if you don't mind if I make a comment as we're on the slide rather than holding till the end. So, Alex, people in the photos are great whenever possible. Thank you.
Sometimes really difficult when we have projects that are bridge related.
I understand that.
But yeah, that duly noted. It was the message my mother gave to me every single time I took a picture. Communication plan. This is another element of the County Outreach and Special Projects Manager's Work Program. A lot of things underway, but I do really want to take some time to celebrate what's been accomplished. We start out the year with an updated communications plan, celebrate National and County Government Month in April, Citizen of the Year concurrently towards the last part of April, Ames Day of the Capitol right at the beginning of the spring, did the annual report, which will change the format a little bit this year with publishing it in the Sun, but it's really good to have that annual report and have it released shortly after the beginning of the year. Box City, and I have a special presentation I want to share with you later on that some students put together on Box City, and I'll talk about what Box City is. Recognizing media partners during the annual Sunshine Week, I appreciate those members of the media that attended that coffee and chance to get to know them. And then conducting technology needs analysis related to communication strategies. That has been done, and that will come back to the board as part of the budget review process. Like you can see on the left-hand side, a number of things underway.
Okay, I would like to talk about a couple of these. First of all, Leadership Nevada, and as we discussed earlier in the year, I think possibly during the budget workshops, about desire to have that not be an actual job assignment function of yours via Story County, rather than I know that you are helping coordinate that for presentations for that day, right? For when they went in for County Day.
Right. And there's a couple change-ups with Leadership Nevada. To your question, yeah, I serve as the chair of the county government session, and as that, I actually serve on the steering committee for Leadership Nevada. And I think I've done that now for a good 10 years in that capacity for Story County. One thing that's changing with this year's Leadership Nevada goes every 2 years. Leadership Ames is an annual event.
Correct.
We are delaying Leadership Nevada to coincide with Leadership Ames, and we're switching to a calendar year. And actually, both are switching to a calendar year. I'm looking at Dustin to make sure I have that right. Beginning in 2020, and then there will be about four sessions that I think is really pretty amazing. Leadership Ames and Leadership Nevada will go together for about four sessions that are facilitated, so we have a countywide approach. And a county government session will probably be one of those.
Will be one day.
One day, right.
Okay. And, all right, I just, as a reminder, we were in Box City also on that particular issue. You were talking about Box City. Is that, when we were back in January and going over your budget or whatever, did we talk about Box City? I don't remember about whether that is actually an official function that should be included under outreach.
It's still in the communications plan.
And the reason for that, can you remind me again? Because I wasn't able to attend Box City. So what does Box City do that's related to county government?
Can we wait till later on? I'll show
you
the video.
Okay, all right. So, okay.
And I'll give a 101 on what Box City is.
And then analyze website tools, modules, and capabilities for potential implementation. I don't remember this being on the work plan as of last July, and then just for a little background here, reporting structure changed last July, and this position now reports to the Director of External Operations here and stuff. So I love how Leanne organizes her work. It is very clear what she's doing and when she's planning to do it. I just really like this. So this one I don't remember on. Has this been on your When I Get To list for a while?
No, it's actually part of the communications plan. So all these items in the specific section come directly from the communications plan that was adopted.
Right.
And this is looking at some of the products that Civic Plus is our vendor for our website, that Civic Plus has available. They're called modules that we are not currently using. And I think one is called CivicSend. I know Linn County is using it. Some of the other Civic Plus jurisdictions are using it to like release newsletters, different ways to engage the public. That's something I've kind of been playing with it, talking to Erica Place with the Story County Conservation. What's a good use of those modules for Story County, but those will have additional costs for Story County.
Thank you for analyzing that.
Anything else on this page?
Nothing, thank you.
Going on to the C2C, Cornerstone to Capstone Plan, I do have a role that I maintain with the comprehensive plan adopted by the board. The annual review has been due to be to the board for several months now, but given some of the staffing turnover and some of the other delays, I apologize. I meant to check my schedule before I came in here, but I think it's the 16th or the 2nd of July that will be before you to review the CTC plan and the implementation matrix. Some of the successes so far this year are continue to fund and look for ways to promote the home-based Iowa programming. Actually, next week you'll have some changes to the program for Story County because we were awarded the grant through the Story County Housing Trust Fund. So that is fantastic. Even though I put the Xbox because I do like to check stuff off sometimes, that's an ongoing program, though, of Story County. And then developing the outreach campaigns for Flood Awareness Month and National Preparedness Month. We did that February and March and concurrently with our Lunch and Learn sessions. I'll repeat that again this fall. And I do recommend removing out my work program, and again, this is really just something for me, consider establishing the groundwater task force that's kind of funneling through our watershed management working group.
I have a request. If you, I see you're going to do the meetings with the school district. You have that scheduled for, it looks like, September and October. The blue's not really showing up on mine either. Also, then, if you drop down, conduct annual meetings with the city administrators. Also, you have that plan for September and October. Would you please notify the supervisors of that and include us? Give us the option of attending those if we are able.
Yes, those are meetings with the board. I usually look at your calendars and set it up based on your availability.
Okay, thank you.
Connect Iowa, a lot of these strategies are being built as part of the Economic Development Summit, and that's yet to come, so not a lot on that. COOP-COG plan, the continuity of operations, continuity of government. Again, this is one of those that was scheduled to be to be presented before the board for action, and we've delayed this. I'm actually toying with the idea of delaying it a little bit longer until the director of our external operations is appointed. We might take it in a couple chunks because there are a number of changes to be made. I'm still waiting for some information from some departments following our exercise, but one thing I'm really proud of, I was requested by Iowa State Association of Counties to write an article for Iowa County Magazine, and that was published, I think, in the May. So I'm really proud of that article as well.
I would ask that you go ahead and present what you've got on KUPCOG and not wait for the hiring process, mm-hmm. and then we could always come on back and then be doing another update. But since we may be looking, no one's starting until October.
Yeah, I think I would agree. Based on the timeline it's going to take, I don't think we want to wait that long.
And I think I have either the 16th or 23rd, or again, I'm waiting on information from one other key department, so that our office, okay. Once I get that information, we can... It's really a gap that we need to be incorporating into the plan.
Yeah, I would, yeah. Any thoughts?
No, I'll go along with what you do.
Okay, yeah, let's keep okay. working on that and get that to us as soon as you can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next is the projects related to economic development. The AEDC contracts were all signed for the upcoming fiscal year. Continue to work with the Story County Economic Development Group. You guys will be acting on a report, the first annual report from the SCEDG that we've had in a number of years on July 2nd. And then work is underway in the Economic Development Group Summit. I think Dustin and I meet next week to continue the to-do list, but it's at least in two of your calendars for saving the date for September 20th. So that will be here in Nevada at the community building. Floodplain management program, this is how it looks right now. The way the process may look going forward with the transition of responsibilities from my work program to planning and development, some of these may shift. Some will be retained, though, under the county outreach and special projects manager heading through the community rating system program. We got the CRS recertification done, and we maintain the level we're at. That was a lot of work. We also, at the same time, were surprised with new floodplain maps and draft formats like the same day. And like surprises, but not to that extent. But to help inform the public about what the new floodplain maps look like, we, as the board knows, did a large mailing to the unincorporated residents and hosted floodplain lunch and learn sessions. I think they were very well attended. We had, 20 or 30 at each one. Had an opportunity to discuss with individuals. I continue to get phone calls. I have not heard from FEMA whether or not we're ready to start the official appeal process. It has to be actually published in the Code of Federal Regulations, and once that happens, that triggers the appeal process and the official adoption process. Delayed probably now even into October 2020. The big thing happens tomorrow. Every 5 years, the Department of Natural Resources and FEMA visit jurisdictions to address their floodplain management program, see really kind of audit and five-year audit. That will be happening tomorrow afternoon, so I will be finishing getting ready for that. It's a great opportunity to really kind of check the balance and see how we're doing and what we can be improving on.
Will a supervisor need to be here for that?
I think, Linda, you received a copy of the I think it's on your agenda, yeah, in your calendar. It was at one point.
Let's double check.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not required to be there. But they come in, they look at our permits, they gave us a list of materials to provide back to them. I think it starts at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Public information officer duties. You guys can read this too, but really kind of the key two ones are creating the Story County EMA Public Affairs Activation Checklist and then the PIO Procedures Guide. I'm about 85% of the way done on that. I'm going to hand it off to Alex starting in July when she finishes some other things just to help put it together, pull it together, make it look a little bit nicer, and then send it on to Alyssa for her review as well.
have a quick question on floodplain management program. How many is about the presentations on disaster preparedness? So how many of you have done those?
I have not done any yet this year.
Right. Have we done them in previous years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then do we have a PowerPoint?
Yeah, I have several different PowerPoints I can give. And it depends on the audience and it depends on what they ask me to do. If they want to know about just basic floodplain management 101 from a 30,000 view, I've got that. It depends.
But yeah, because when I read the disaster preparedness, I think about emergency management and all of the different departments. Okay. So all right. So that's an overview that you're giving. Is that
again? It depends on the audience what they request.
Right.
I've done some specific on the community rating system, which I actually did a presentation with the Iowa Floodplain Stormwater Management Association early this month on just CRS and our experience. Some schools want to know about everything from what does water quantity mean as the basic stamp, basic premise.
Okay, thank you. I just kind of, when I saw that, I wondered. All right, thank you.
I already talked about that. Then miscellaneous, the kind of the other duties as assigned plus. Technical assistance program did end. I think we had 5 communities. Ordinance manual is updated. And then the ongoing ones are just ones that you know that I'm down there chugging away, really.
Mm-hmm.
People are asking for assistance with legal notices or whatever it may be. I like Brett McLean, I'll help him with a proclamation for August.
Do you keep a kind of a running list about that, about who you're providing assistance to?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I could.
Just a thought about, as we talk about, quarterly reports going forward and that type of thing, one of the things I really just have noticed about Joby's reports and usually IT reports is they kind of list how many requests they've had for certain kinds of major internal, services to assist. So I just wondered.
Okay. Thank you. Urban renewal area, as the board knows, the applications were received 2 weeks ago. So we're well underway with that. I'm following the administrative steps to come forward this early fall. Watershed management planning, a lot changed from when I first developed the work program to since we have the revised implementation matrix through the watershed implementation working group. Having that ongoing involvement, I do serve as chair of that group. There's some work that's involved with that, but then removing some of the elements that were identified with other entities to rely with other entities. Continue the Watershed Management Authority collaborations, both Squaw Creek, WMA, kind of on the periphery, but I am the board's appointment on the Four Mile Creek WMA.
So related to the Watershed Implementation Working Group, I know that recently the group heard an update from Kent Rohde on a particular grant we'd applied for, and I wasn't clear whether that grant, that information was worth a presentation from the watershed group or if that was very minimal.
I'm going to turn to Linda because that was the same time as Box City, so I could not stay very long in that meeting.
It was fairly general. I think it might be better to do but what Kent Rohde did talk about was there was going to be a meeting of the 4 or 6 counties that were included in this project in Fort Dodge sometime soon, and it would be county supervisors from all of those, from all of the counties that were going to be part of this wetlands drainage district IDOLS project. My sense is that we will have more information about it there. I just think right now it's kind of preliminary. There have been some overviews of it, but I think that's where we're going to get some good information to know what our role will be and how we can benefit it.
Okay, so when you say supervisors, you were really going for plural from each board, because you're our rep on that. So So are you going to attend and then you can come back on it?
I don't know. It was very very vague. I think that all supervisors will be able to attend, but I need to
okay.
hear more.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah, I think it would be good if all supervisors could. We probably have to post it as special then.
Yeah. And then for the Watershed Implementation Group in general, as chair, or is there a point in time where you see an update to the whole board is appropriate? Or
probably after we get through the first couple meetings. I mean, we're starting to meet every other month. We started that in, we just met last Friday, so we started that in April. So probably this fall. Right now, there's a lot is happening, but I think when we get to having a website ready to release and launch, there's more glamorous stuff to share with the board than the learning moments.
Okay, thank you.
And then work items, again, those other duties as assigned, Public Service Recognition Week, everything from that to assisting departments with requests for proposals. I'm helping Joby with one right now. Just ask me, I can answer any questions on that. I've already introduced Alex. She did join us after Matt left in early May. Her primary project right now is updating the onboarding video. She is actually bilingual and has been able to take a lot of our brochures and information sheets and translate them. Now it's my responsibility to check her work and make sure that she has it right, which means I'm going to ask her, is this how you say it? So it could be fun. But I was able to get my old dictionary out, and it's really been helpful for me to get back into the language as well. She's been working on her social media goals, and that's a few slides here coming up. But wellness brochures, she actually is responsible for the weekly videos now, so box for the board supervisors. County news, our story, working the Colo logo for the city of Colo, and then taking videos and photos of Story County at its finest, reviewing the floodplain management pages so I can make some changes. But she came, and I'm like, hey, by the way, the next couple of weeks we are focusing on Box City. So let me see if I can get and show you what Box City is. Box City is an event I do with school districts as requested or other, I've done it at conservation a couple times through the Partners Festival. It is simply a city that is made out of recycled boxes, recycled materials. We have foam squares that the county owns. They're actually interlocking puzzle pieces. You'll see the video. I guess you won't see the video. This shows some of the kids making buildings. We issue permits, and we just very general to teach about what community is all about, what planning is all about, what goes into building community, all the different facets. I have a presentation I go in and give. It's kind of a Dr. Seuss-like presentation, and then I actually issue permits to the students. And this one was phenomenal. The feedback from the parents, I go in the community, they're just so appreciative, and now there's a face to Story County, too. And, you know, that's key to it. Lynn Scarlett brings her big scissors with the Nevada Chamber and a ribbon. We have a huge ribbon cutting. And then the community building component is to enter the open house for Box City. The attendees bring items for the local food pantries. So it's just kind of a roundabout way for the kids to enact with local individuals in the community, but also build a community, but then build the larger community as well.
So you said conservation participates in this?
No, I've done that at Conservation as Partners Festival. So this can be anywhere from a two-day event to an afternoon. I did a couple times, and one year it was raining at the Partners Festival, so we had the crowded room, as crowded as it could be up in the conservation building.
So given the fact that we deal with unincorporated areas, so the most we normally would build in would be like a subdivision like we had earlier or something like that, but these are actual cities you're building.
Yeah.
Okay. And does planning and development participate in this also?
Unfortunately, planning, Jerry, yeah, he's still here. Initially when the school came to me, it's a part of this last one is the Nevada School District. It's built into their curriculum with multi-age every 4 years. He had a full staff, and then he did not have a full staff. So planning and development could not participate. So I was able to actually use high school students of the Nevada High School, and then they were able to get Silver Cord hours as well, so that when they graduate, they can represent themselves as members of community with volunteer service hours. So I don't know if the sound is going to play or not. If it does, it does. Yeah, I don't know what it's doing.
There's much more. We even have a baseball stadium, ethanol plant, research park, car manufacturer, schools, and even individual homes that we built in ours. Today we had our grand ribbon cutting ceremony for boxing. It was so much fun to see all of the boxes put together and finished. This is Howard in the Chamber of Commerce for Great Hope for our Box City project. Miss Carter is the one who planned and created Box City. We should come check it out.
Carter made and gave us our permit. Thank you for telling us where our box boxes needed to go. Thank you.
This year is ranking out. Ms. Harder created the rounds and we did the rest. Thank you for all the hard work and Fox City, Ms. Harder. We really appreciate you. Thank you for supporting us all work.
During this project, we worked on relationships with our little buddies.
During this project, we had to persevere, fragile, and train six.
Thank you to the Chamber of Congress for choosing the name Codyville. We learned a lot through our Box City project. One of the things I had to use for my project was my written down.
So I'll stop there. What they have is they have a green screen and a movie maker space at our elementary school. So one of the classrooms for the year-end celebration made this video, and that was on the heels of the open house. So it just, again, teaches the kids what community is all about and then the different levels of community as well.
Do you have an estimate on what, like, your time invested in this
one? This one was pretty easier than past because I say that because all of a sudden Alex comes like, oh, we have to design some buildings. There's about 240 kids, ages first through fourth grade. Probably in total 4 weeks worth of time. When you add in mine and Alex's together starting in January, we had to lay out the city. We had all the red pieces disintegrate this year. So we had to get the red interlocking pieces. We had to get a little bit creative and find out replacement pieces. So that was what took a little bit more time this year because we had to redesign the zoning map.
Just want to be clear, 4 weeks, if I were to translate that in number of hours, you're saying about 160 hours?
Probably since January, yeah. The two of us combined.
Okay, is this something really... How many years have you been doing this?
Oh, Loris, I have been doing this since 2000, shortly after I started director, I guess 2001, since I started director of planning and development.
So your 160 hours, you're saying, is it's not you alone doing 160,
right.
It's combined or split between the two of you
mm-hmm.
of doing that. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're kind of clear on that.
Okay.
Do you have the kids provide any kind of feedback to you on what they learned?
Yeah, and that's actually another presentation that the kids put together because Nevada had so many snow days. The last week of school, the teacher spent some time doing that. And that actually rebuilds where you can see the foam squares and the community as well, too. And I can share that. I was toying with the idea of submitting an ISAC Excellence in Innovation Award for this because how it does really develop youth and engaging them on what community is all about.
So before you do that, why don't you let the board think a little bit more, okay, before you submit that one?
The deadline is coming up July 1st, so I will get this on the board's agenda for next week. Would you like a presentation on Box City?
No, I guess I've never seen, actually, never really, it's my fault, I've been here 3 budget cycles now and I never really understood what it was. So when I'm just looking at dollars and amounts and amount of time spent, and I know there was some concern. Well, let's just say that as you planning projects then, and you know what happens and priorities. Let's not put it on the agenda. We've got so much to do that it's probably a lower priority. It's something to talk about with the budget setting and headed into 2021.
Yeah, the only budget request I may need to be submitting this year is the replacement of the red foam squares. The different colors represent different land uses on, from the zoning map and land use standpoint on the foam squares that are the base of the community. Other than that, I've actually covered all the supplies personally this year because it's just so passionate for me.
I can budget setting time as we talk about interns.
Yeah, I think it fit well into my work schedule this year, and it was just the feedback we get from the community for Story County I think is invaluable. So going back to my presentation.
Yes, and I do have a question on that page, another one of there if you're when you're ready.
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, the COLO logo. All right, so prior to the shift to you reporting to the external director, we used to get requests that came to the board when you received a request from technical assistance from the communities, okay? Mm-hmm. So did this COLO logo come in as a request, as a formal technical assistance
request? No, this
request?
Is actually building on what we did with the scale students and the scale students last fall. We had four scale students, Story County Active Learning Experience through DMA, working on websites for Zeering and COLO, and part of that was the discussion that Story County would help develop the logo for COLO.
Okay, Story County being us, being the scale students.
No, Story County, the local, right here, me and Alex.
Okay, but I thought that was a scale program. Not
Scale was doing the website, and the community of COLO did not have a logo.
So, but that wasn't assigned to the Scale students also?
No, no.
And
they were working on specifically the website.
Okay, here's my feedback here on this, is that what has typically happened, as I said, prior to last year, is the Board of Supervisors approved these technical requests. They came in under the technical assistance program up to $3,000 if they wanted to farm it out, or we, you know, approved your workload that way. So with the shift on that, I guess the supervisors, we never discussed about what would be appropriate technical assistance and how would that come forward. And my concern is that that normally this type of work is done by outside entities. The cities pay a company to do this, or they could come to us and get $3,000, up to $3,000 to do this. I'm concerned that we've just taken on an activity that there's private industry out there that provides it. There's other opportunities they could have gone to have gotten that work done through Iowa State or DMAC, a class. I mean, there were all kinds of opportunities out there. And I'm just concerned also this time is money. And so I'm accused sometimes of micromanaging, but for me, it's not just about a micromanagement, if you will, here. I'm concerned about how this flowed so differently than what had been longstanding policy about how we provided technical assistance. And I'm also concerned about us now stepping in for one community and competing with the private market. Have we opened ourselves up to getting a request from every small community to now have our outreach director design logos
why don't we start this discussion with staff?
All right.
And continue here if we need to. And I would look to the Director of External Operations that we have, you know, maybe you discuss with her.
Okay.
Sure. Concerned.
Okay. Thank you.
We took what they had already had drawn up and made it digital. That is what we're doing. So
I bring it up flow and process and that stuff people don't want to hear.
Well, it sounds to me like you're also concerned about setting a precedent.
Correct.
Yeah. And I understand that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Anything else on this slide?
No. Thank you.
Just some training opportunities. I am a certified planner and certified floodplain manager. I do want to just note I am almost there with my AICP. This is just a listing of the different types of opportunities I've been able to do through webinars, which I am so appreciative to be able to do. Majority of these are actually free. We did have a few that were ordered through American Planning Association, but I do try to find all those that I can that have no cost. And then the Certified Floodplain Manager Association, these are both two-year cycles. I am current now for this year cycle, which is good. Otherwise, I'd be panicking a little bit because our cycle ends July 31st. The county, I do want to really thank Story County and HR specifically for the training opportunities that we're given. None of these I can use for my two certifications. This is just taking opportunity of classes and training that Story County puts on. This last one, finding your productivity in a hyper-interrupted world. This is not current because my inbox now has like 30-some items, but he really taught us to manage your emails. And last week I had 10 emails, and it was wonderful training, and it has actually helped me again feel more productive in a hyper-interrupted world. I can't say it, but so again, thank you to the HR for really bringing those forward and the board for supporting those opportunities. Now onto our social media updates and our goals. We did put together a social media plan, kind of just set some goals. We did this a couple of years ago with Christy, and then Matt kind of took it the next step. What you see there is we use Google Drive so that we can access it anywhere. We don't have to be connected to the county's website. Truly track by a monthly basis what we're going to post. Can pre-populate them, then using Hootsuite 2 so that we need to manage and monitor. We're maybe a step ahead than we need to be. And then also in our Google Drive, we have then the social media. So that's the social media post, and then we have a social media plan. And that really sets some goals on where we want to be on our four social media channels. We have Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and now Instagram. Which I'll talk a little bit about Instagram. We use, again, Hootsuite then to manage those accordingly. And then Instagram is tied to my phone then, too, to be able to post, too, because you cannot post on Instagram from a desktop. So specifically on Facebook, we have about 1,200-some followers. We have some initial goals to increase the average of 50 per month. We really need to try to get by 2,000 by the end of this year. Facebook seems to be waning, though, so we're trying to figure out how to message it. Alex is always looking at the different trends that are out there. Our analytics on Facebook, we do mid-month. The other ones we do at the beginning of the month. So as of May 14th, we did have 1,249 followers on Facebook. It's a little bit, we're in a transition because when Facebook was initially set up, it was set up as Joseph Story. That was when you had to have a person. So we're trying to engage through Story County, Iowa, and that is where we've seen the slower growth. So go out and share Story County, Iowa instead of Joseph Story is a message. Then on our Twitter account, our YouTube account, we have only 56 subscribers, but we do find that the number of views are increasing. You don't have to be a subscriber to be able to watch the video. Some initial goals we had going in, Alex did massage them a little bit, and our key goals right now are to tag videos of news politics rather than other general categories to get it up there in the forefront. We did some work rearranging channel settings, trying to get the most recent meetings to the top. Every now and then YouTube fails on us, and we have to go back and switch it around. And then also link all our social medias to that YouTube to really continue that messaging. And then as best as we can, get that the meeting video out there promptly. Last week we had some issues with the software. Hopefully this week goes a little bit more smoothly than last week, but I know that's what Alex will spend this afternoon doing.
I have a question about, because we get these issues from time to time with the software, and were we once again trying to download from a remote location, or were we downloading from here?
It was from here.
Boy, you know, this is just frustrating. I'll apologize to you in advance, Alex, because nobody knows when it will happen. So.
Barb Steinbeck with IT said Joel Arns has some solutions for different software for us to look
at. Great.
Once we get through updating the onboarding video, then Alex will spend some time with him as well and make sure it's meeting what our intentions are. Then the Twitter account, no, Instagram. Like I'm losing track of where I am. We had an account that we set up when HR intern was here a couple of years ago, just for the Story County Fair. We really didn't do much to manage it, and so we purposely have begun managing it. We are really finding we're getting a lot of followers. What did you say we're up to? 115 as of today. Maybe a couple since we've been in here. Who knows? But we're engaging that. That's a whole another segment of the population. We are trying to figure out how to turn that business, the Instagram into a business account. Right now it's not connecting to the county's Facebook, so we can't do that yet. But really including our stories, frequently posting, being purposeful about our messaging.
And I'm assuming you've got it tied to, like, your Instagram to your Facebook, so when you post on one, it's starting to connect, not yet.
We were trying to do that today, and I was trying to connect to my personal Facebook,
gotcha.
I don't want to do, nor do you want me to do. So that's hopefully we figure that out the next couple of days. So
okay.
But that's a benefit of Hootsuite, though, too.
Right.
You can do the
right.
similar messaging and manage it accordingly. And then our Twitter, we continue. I celebrated when we passed 1,000. Our goal is to get to 1,400 plus by the end of the year, really the 18 new followers per month. All the agendas and all that post automatically to our social medias, but we want to be a little bit more purposeful about doing 40 tweets per month, including those, and getting timely messages out. Any questions?
No, very thorough report. Love some of the new graphics. I suspect, Alex, those pages on social media, did you build some of those? Or in the end, was it you? Like, just the way that they're laid out, you've got, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I have no questions.
I don't either. I guess I have a comment. I want to go back to kind of the Box City, and I recognize the comments that have been made here. I also think it's good when you can engage the youth. You know, many of them are kind of that hands-on learner, and they get that better understanding. I would like to see some of the outcomes that they get from that. So whether that's a presentation to us or just some information you can provide to me, I would appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have no other reports that I know of. Does anybody have a report? No. Upcoming agenda items for the 25th, we will have a new board and commission appointment, and we've already looked at having a third supervisor now here full time. That will be third supervisor. Yes.
Okay. No. Never mind.
You gave me an odd look.
Keep going, and
please.
Because my brain did a little.
Okay. That both Flores and I are able to kind of reduce our load of boards and commissions, and I think got some, some good ideas on how to be specialists in areas. So we'll bring that next week. Other agenda items that anybody can think about for next week that we haven't already discussed?
No.
No. Okay. Then we are to public forum number two, and this is comments from the public from items not on this agenda. Don't see any members of the public here necessarily, other than our reporter. Hi, Robbie. But if there is anybody who wants to make a comment now, if not, I will close the public forum. And liaison assignments, committee meeting dates, and announcements from the supervisors. Loris, do you want to go first?
Okay, so tonight I am headed to Grimes for the Central Iowa Regional Housing Association monthly meeting, and I don't anticipate anything big about that. We currently have 256 HUD vouchers being used or assigned to the county, and once again, the majority of them, 200 or 201, are in Ames for the use, and the rest are spread among our other communities. Hunger Collaboration is Thursday. Also on Thursday morning, there our engineer, Drainage District Engineer Kent Rohde, will be here along with Scott Wall, our Drainage District Clerk, and Darren Moon, our County Engineer. They'll be opening the bids for Richland 20. I had told them that I would be here for that, but this is not a formal meeting. They are going to open it. They don't need to open with supervisors in attendance as the Drainage District, but I may not be able to make that. I'll let you guys know. Okay. The Chamber AADC meeting, they're having a joint meeting on Wednesday. And on Monday, I may not be here. Monday morning, the HRDA board is having a special meeting to discuss the budget. We have not passed that budget yet, and of course, July is one is coming very rapidly. And it, while that will occur in the morning, I may stay at HRDA for a few more hours as we look at some service changes or whatever, or just kind of the executive committee. I believe I'm the one who might be available to stay beyond the meeting, so I'll let you guys know. So don't plan on me necessarily being back here. Thank you.
Lisa, anything you want to?
Well, I'm not approved yet, I think, on meetings. We're still right. But yes, but Thursday we'd be looking at attending the Central Iowa Recovery Board meeting and the CICS meeting. That would be actually for this week. That's Thursday.
Next week.
Oh, it is next week. It is the 27th. Gosh, I'm off a week. I don't think I have anything else going on.
Are you going to use an aging resources this Thursday?
Yes, I can.
Great.
Yes.
Then I can attend the Drainage District Trustee.
Okay,
Fiddle.
Super. Thank you.
Okay. You know, I've had trouble with this week and next week, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Today I'm going over to the Justice Center in the afternoon. We have County Radio Day, so for county employees who will be using new radios that we'll be able to buy with Storycom, through Storycom, they're going to look at those. So I can always learn more about radios. Tonight there's a housing work session at Ames that you won't be able to be at.
Unfortunately not. I thought it was on your agenda. I was glad.
Yeah, I've also got a debate at downtown property and business owners meeting at 6 o'clock. Maybe I'll see if somebody else can attend one of those. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. I just noticed. We have an emergency management recognition on the calendar for tomorrow morning. Yeah, because Keith is not here. So should we?
I think the date was changed in the calendar.
It's changed? Okay. Good. Good. Give me, glad to know that. And then the DNR visit at 1 o'clock, I can attend tomorrow on the issue. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, I guess I have one other thing, although it's not county related, is with, as I'm transitioning out of the NAMI position, I will be at an education thing they have tonight in that particular role at 7 p.m. at the library. So just a full disclosure, that's where I will be.
You come in with lots of energy, right?
Yes,
so you
I do.
Kind of pull both of those
I did.
For a while.
I did.
And Friday the 21st will be the corrections board meeting and joining the corrections board.
Thank you.
And thank you. And Saturday, Freedom Run is here in Nevada.
That's right. I will be there.
Okay, we'll all be there.
Yeah,
okay.
I will be at the registration table at 6 a.m.
I did hope run registration last Saturday, so I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to be doing something there.
I just know that it's 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, so.
Yeah, you know, whatever, yeah.
I'm hoping for good weather.
I yelled. I was a cheerer last year at the finish line. I was really good at it. Let me do it again.
Today is this weekend.
Yes.
And then next Tuesday, and we see this is something you might want to get on your calendar when you have a calendar.
Okay.
The 25th at 9 o'clock, we will be meeting here at the Drainage District Trustees.
Okay.
So 9:30, excuse me, 9:30 for Drainage District Trustees. So busy week for everybody, it sounds like. Okay. And is there any other business to come before the board?
I move we adjourn.
I second that.
Okay.
Aye.
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 Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.